In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Love it.
Good. There goes the HMS Beagle down to the depths of the ocean. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another fun episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues that revolve around evolution creation. We go into science, we go into scripture, we go into history, we go into biography, and today we are in biography, Stan.
We are traipsing into the world of biography, biology, what?
Biography, because we have been studying on this, we're recording today,
yes,
on the 200th anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin. We're on a kind of a kick in this session of recordings here.
Happy birthday to him.
No,
yes.
we want to pause for a second and thank those at Christian Records Services for the use of their wonderful studio.
Yes.
They minister to the blind and the seeing impaired, the visually impaired. They have wonderful products. They can check it out at Christian Records Service. Check it out on the internet and open up.
Thumbs up for our engineer Tommy there.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. But today, now, we want to look at Charles Darwin. We've been focusing on his anniversary on this day and the set of recordings on his life.
Uh-huh.
And I want to pick up where we sort of talked about Darwin's illness in a prior recording.
Yes.
And what we're looking at here is one of the issues that maybe caused some of Darwin's sicknesses, and he had lots of problems, as we discussed last time, was a relationship with his father.
A relationship with his father, and some people have called it the Oedipal, complex.
Oedipus Rex.
Yes, exactly. Proposing that Darwin's illness was, quote, an expression of repressed anger toward his father, Robert Darwin, who was a physician. Rempf believes that Rempf believed that Darwin's complete submission to a tyrannical father prevented Darwin from expressing anger towards his father and then subsequently towards others. In a similar diagnosis, English psychiatrist Dr. Rankin Good stated, "Thus, if Darwin did not slay his father in the flesh, then he certainly slew the heavenly father in the realm of natural history." So there was an unconscious patricide, so to speak, accounting for almost 40 years of severe and crippling neurotic suffering.
You know, and the sad thing is he slayed the father in heaven, took it out on the father in heaven, did reconcile with his father on earth, but really never reconciled. If he only realized that he did have characteristics of his father in heaven, and that if he had known those characteristics of his father in heaven, maybe Charles Darwin would have been a much different person today. So, I want to take a twist and just say, you know, here are some things we know about Charles Darwin, his biography, and he has common characteristics of what I call the strange habits of God or the weird habits of God when you think about him.
Okay.
Now, first of all, we know one thing about Charles Darwin is that he was a bird watcher.
Okay.
We often hear about Darwin's finches.
Darwin's finches, yes, from the Galapagos Islands, which at first he wasn't sure they were all finches, but brought them back, and a bird watcher, a friend of his in England, helped him identify, yes, these are indeed different kinds of finches. So
noticed that there were differences, and so he collected these birds from the various islands as evidence and proof of his.
Yes.
So Darwin was a bird watcher.
He was a bird watcher. Well, is God a bird watcher?
Yeah, the Bible declares he is a bird watcher.
Ah.
And, you know, God, when you look at birds, you can't blame them. I mean,
at all.
What kind of birds does God watch is the question.
Oh, well, you know what? You know that I'm a birder. My wife, Cindy, and I are birders, and we love to go bird watching.
Do you have a life list?
Cindy has a life list in the United States of approaching 500. When you get to the 500, that's considered to be at least
gold standard, somewhere
between amateur and serious, probably closer to serious.
I think it's called compulsive.
Bird watching, I may point out to you, oh unbeliever, is that one of the fastest growing outdoor activities. You might want to consider it here.
You got the plains
of Nebraska, but
you got to see them before they disappear. That's the drag.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, God watches birds, and we actually are going to go to our torpedo text today
early on,
and it's actually found in Matthew chapter 10. again, mm-hmm. and we're going to look at verse 29 and then verse 31.
Oh,
so what kind 30. Of bird does God watch? Is he looking for these big flamingos?
Those fancy jobs?
The pink that get turned pink of the shrimp? Or is he love the peacocks with those eye feathers? I mean, like you said before, Stan, well, birds, when God must have had, if he had an art budget, he spent a lot of it on the birds, you know?
You know, if God had an art budget, a lot of it was spent on the birds. And one of the great birds that I've ever seen, since I'll intersperse here with our talk, a little story. We got to see, Cindy and I saw what's called an elegant trogon. And an elegant trogon is a very fancy bird in southern Arizona, barely makes it over the border sometimes in Arizona, and thus qualifies as a bird you see in the United States, an important life list issue, birders that you all understand what I'm talking about. Anyway, just a great looking, bright green and red and black and white bird, just outstanding. And boy, when you saw this bird, you really saw something. I'm wondering, are those the kind of birds that God watches?
No. Let me read through the text
for
you.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
It says here, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father?" The idea is apart from God's notice.
Yes, yes.
God's watching these little brown birds. These little LBJs, LBBs. Yeah. What's that terminology?
Well, birders know them. LBJs, little brown job, LBB,
nothing,
little brown
birds. Nothing special.
In other words, when you can't hardly tell the differences. Yeah.
Insignificant, not very valuable. No one even bothers writing them on their list. Or you put it right on the very first, second, or third. It makes the first top 10 because mm-hmm. everybody's seen them. You have to even try to confirm where you saw it. You just write it down. It's a kind of, God's noticing the birds that flutter around your car and the Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, and you know what? I appreciate the fact that you correctly got that verse, verse 29, where it says, "And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father." Most translations say apart from your Father's will.
Yeah.
But in the original Greek, the word will is not there. And it's
apart
literally
from
apart from your Father, which means they don't fall without God being there and noticing.
Noticing. But the interesting thing is, why does God notice? And if Darwin understood why God was a birder and liked birds like Darwin noticed birds, maybe he'd have thought differently. And it says here that in verse 31, "So do not fear." And Darwin, we know, is just full of fear and panic.
Absolutely.
"Do not fear, because you are more valuable than many sparrows." Though Darwin's father never valued him.
Yes, and he didn't feel it from his
and
dad.
And never felt the value of his existence from his dad.
His earthly father.
Had he known his heavenly father, mm-hmm. says, "Listen, Chuck, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You're more valuable than many sparrows, and mm-hmm. there's never one that's left this earth that has passed away that mm-hmm. I haven't noticed."
You know, it's funny. Jesus says something when I point this verse out to people, and as a birder and a preacher, I'll combine the two at times. That it says that you are worth more than many sparrows. Now, it's interesting. God does not say you are worth more than all sparrows. And many of us would say, wait a minute, aren't we worth more than all sparrows? The fact of the matter is, no, because sparrows have great value to God also.
God?
And you are worth more than many sparrows. You're worth a lot, but so are sparrows.
In other words, what he's saying is all his creation mm-hmm. is valuable. God's mm-hmm. interested in redeeming all of creation, and he notices the sparrows. And so the idea here is that, it conveys when God's habit of bird watching is not so much, it's about birds, but it's about the value that he places on the creatures made in his image,
mm-hmm.
the ones that
mm-hmm.
don't have feathers, but have, you know, that walk, that think, that talk, that reflect his goodness. And you can't help when you think about Charles Darwin living in so much fear,
mm-hmm.
living in so much, you know, panic attack mode, spending lots of time in bed and feeling so disconnected from anything meaningful and valuable.
Yes, people. He was withdrawn. Most people mm-hmm. would describe him as a very withdrawn person. He was he was a pleasant person to be around, but he was otherwise a generally withdrawn, quiet, to himself kind of person, in bed a lot, as you
yeah.
say.
And you know, how many birds do you see from bed? Probably not too many.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever notice that God was noticed that he existed and he mattered?
Mm-hmm.
That's really one of the fundamental problems that evolution has in its treatment, and that's unfortunate that Charles Darwin bought it to be such a prominent theory, because they don't understand the reasons for our existence,
mm-hmm.
that we really matter and that we belong. There is no meaning if you believe that you have a purposeless existence, if you just came from pond scum,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have a heavenly father. and you came just from pond scum, you really don't matter.
Yeah.
You really nothing really matters, because all life is just a blip on the screen of existence, and you're dead and you're gone and there's nothing.
Yeah.
And no one will mourn you beyond the grave once a family or two member is gone.
You know, Jesus, if you could put it in these terms, Jesus, who died for us in our place, literally experienced what we would call the wrath of God. But in a sense, Jesus died from ultimate aloneness.
Yeah.
He felt the Father pull away. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why did you leave? Where did you go? And
don't you notice?
Don't you see me? I'm here. Where are you, Father? I'm calling to you and I can't see you. I can't feel you. I sense you maybe here, but I can't really.
The ultimate panic attack.
Jesus died of a broken heart, of being ultimately alone. So
ultimately separated.
Jesus would be able to relate to the fears of Charles Darwin, of this feeling alone. It's a great sadness to me that he never understood that Jesus had died in his place, so that of all things, of all people, Darwin should know. In his background and his education, he should know he is not alone. He is loved, and he has a Father in heaven. And it's a great sadness to me, great tragedy that he didn't learn that.
And Jesus came to show us the Father. He came to say, you know, if Darwin would have gotten better acquainted with Jesus, he would have realized that he truly had a heavenly Father.
And
he truly would have mattered, because our torpedo text brought it out.
Yep.
It's connecting the idea of monetary or value with what seems to be insignificant.
Well,
are not two sparrows sold for a cent?
They
do have value. And sort of when God is talking that way, he's saying, you have value. You matter to me.
And we want to debunk just briefly here the famous story of supposedly Charles Darwin coming to God on his deathbed. You know, the famous legend that creation is kind of sometimes spread a little bit. Unfortunately, the sad truth of the matter is that he did not, and that's sort of a legend that is probably good to mention just here briefly. He did not, unfortunately. He went to his grave alone and
Never knew his father.
And absolutely uncured of his illness of nervousness and panic.
And when children go through life unvalued, but maybe there's a person out there who feels like, you know, I'm unvalued. That does my life matter? I'm just a blip of, I'm one of 7 billion people on this bloody planet who don't, you know, maybe you feel like Charles Darwin. There was 7 billion then, but I feel as insignificant as a sparrow in the parking lot at the mall, you know, and no one's going to notice when I go. God notices.
Yes, he does.
And that's why he sent his son, so that he would ascribe to such a great value, you know.
Yeah, and Jesus said, the great sadness is the world does not know you, Father, but I know you, and I've revealed your name so that others can understand it. And Jesus wanted the world to know, don't be afraid, you're worth much value. You have more value than many sparrows.
And so what we'd like to do is invite you to become a bird watcher. Every time you go from this day forward and you drive to work or you drive to the school and you see sparrows fluttering, the message we want you to have is the message Darwin never got. God's watching these little birds around me. Ooh, he's watching me too. And you know what?
Where the birds are, God is.
And what he's saying to you at that moment is, you're extremely valuable. You matter to me. So when you see the little brown insignificant birds, they are not insignificant, and neither are you.
And you know what they do rather well? They sing their praises, their little songs to God. They're so happy with wherever they are in life. Maybe we should learn a little bit from our feathery friends. What do you think?
Yes, become heavenly bird watchers like our Father.
Yes.
Tune in again for another Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from 7 stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.